Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnie, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Another rainy day here in Middle Tennessee.
That's all right.
Hopefully, this is going to be moving out sometime in the near future. We've got a loaded show again today. We're excited about that. We'll have Scott Ramsey join us in about 15 minutes. We'll tell you what he has up his sleeve, the Nashville Sports Council. Jordan Matthews, former Vanderbilt star, will join us in the second hour of the program. Most people forgot he was on the 49ers. Yeah, they were in the Super Bowl. Jim Wyatt also in the second hour. We'll talk about the Titans' offseason moves as the offseason is upon us. The director for Michael Vick, 30 for 30.
Oh, I was like, I didn't think he could come on.
Nope, not that director. Another director, Stanley Nelson. He is going to join us in the third hour. Barton Simmons, talk a little bit. Recap what was yesterday, and then, of course, our weekly with Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. Darren McFarlane, that's me. Chase McCabe.
Hello.
That's him. Elijah Campbell behind the glass. Got a chance last night to listen to a little bit towards the end of Smashville Live. You and Brent Peterson.
We had fun.
In Bellevue as I was trying to drive through lakes and ponds.
Yeah, it got
there
bad.
There was a lot of flooding. Lots. It was bad.
Yeah.
Last night. I don't know what it was like out in your neck of the woods on the west side.
It was bad.
But down in the Murfreesboro area last night, whoa. Smyrna and Murfreesboro, man, there was a lot of standing water. There were a lot of police cars and fire trucks that were out directing traffic. Because of all the standing water.
Yeah. Look, you got to be careful in this kind of weather. And it was during right before Smashville Live, it started pouring down. Poor Schiller was trying to unload the van in a monsoon. We had a good time out at Brewhouse 100. Brent Peterson, you know, he's got stories. And so you just get him to tell some stories and give his opinion on the team. So it was a lot of fun. It flew by. It was one of those. I was like, Brent, we're out of time. We got to go.
Yep. So, those are the best shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good. And appreciate everybody for coming out. And next week, we'll be back in Bellevue at Boom Boz with Yannick Weber and Matt Irwin. So been a while since we've had a couple players on because of the schedule. But we'll have those guys. And I believe at the end of the month, Philip Forsberg and Kelly Arncroak will be the guests. So lots coming down the pike for Smashville Live.
Very nice. Speaking of the Preds, tonight they're in Calgary. Flames and Preds, 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Puck drop, 7 o'clock pregame. Everything right here on 102.5 Game. We'll see if they can follow up a nice win in Winnipeg. And this is another, yet again, critical game. A team that is battling for a playoff spot just like them in the wild card spots. And we'll see if they can get it done against Calgary. In fact, I've brought this up before. A lot of people believe this is kind of where, unfortunately, their season took a turn for the worse with that Calgary come-from-behind victory in the third period here in Nashville on Halloween night.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and I think this is an opportunity to correct that, to exercise some demons for the Nashville Predators, go into their house, take care of business. And look, it's all about, and Brent and I talked about this last night, you and I talked about this yesterday, it's the mental part of it and just going in there and having that thought of got to have the effort, got to have the attitude. And that's what John Hines has been tasked in trying to fix. And I think you've seen it from some players. I mean, Mikael Granlund is a prime example of it's been going the right direction for him. But you got to go into Calgary tonight looking at the big picture, knowing that with a win, you are knocking on the door of a playoff spot. You got to take care of your business. You can't control what anybody else does. And I think that that's what makes this so important. if they play the game like they did the other night against Winnipeg, I think they win. And I think Calgary's a good team. They got a lot of firepower on that team, no pun intended. But I think they can take care of it if they play the same type of effort that they played against Winnipeg. That's what you got to see. That was a complete game in my mind.
I would say so.
And Brent was impressed with him too. But yeah. He said the problem has been they have those games and then they can't put it together back to back.
Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you this, as we sit here going into what is tonight, game 50, what is tonight, 53, I think.
Yeah.
Fans don't want to hear about effort and attitude. 53 games into a season. I can just tell you that if this continues to be a thing, people are turned off by that. Nobody wants to hear about professional athletes who are well paid, have big contracts, about how them getting their mind right for games. It's like, that's okay for a while. But then, you know, when you're in February, nobody wants to hear that. They just don't. Your effort needs to be there all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why you have to preach effort. I do that with 8-year-olds, not adults, not people with people that are professional athletes and have huge contracts.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong at all, but you're also not in there during those types of, I mean, we're in there for 10 minutes at a time. So,
you control effort, you, not coaches, not anybody else. You control effort.
I understand.
That's on you. That's anybody can do that. Your effort in any job you have in life,
but for
you
some,
control effort. So you are in control of that. A coach can't make you. A player can't make you. Either it's there or it's not.
But some guys need different types of motivation for one
reason
or another.
And that's what I'm saying, and people don't want to hear that. That's all I'm getting at, is people don't want to hear that.
Well, and you're right. You don't want to hear that.
You know what I mean? We're 5 months into the season.
Sure, and you don't want to have to. I don't want to have to sit here and explain that of why that is, because there is no explanation. I think that's the most frustrating part with this team is you look at them and you go, why are you in this position? And nobody has an answer. It's just, it was a wake up call, or we got stuff going on in the room. Our effort's not there. Why?
We took our foot off the gas.
Why?
Or we let up.
Why?
Nobody
knows why. Nobody can explain it.
People don't want to hear. If that's the case, in my opinion, if that's the case, if we're still talking about this, David Poile needs to make some, because you've got the wrong people.
Right. Okay,
you need to identify who those people, because you've got the wrong people in a room. You just do. You control effort. And if you have to constantly crack a whip on effort and attitude and keeping your foot on the gas, then you got the wrong people. You just do.
You do. And we're finding
that's
out.
That's in any phase of life. We're talking about the hockey team. This is anything. If you have to constantly crack the whip on somebody in any workplace all the time, they always have to be motivated, you got the wrong person.
Now, do I believe that there are certain guys on this team that just weren't hearing the old message, that they weren't hearing Laviolette's message? Yes. And I think you're seeing who those guys were. I think you are seeing now that there is a new voice that they are playing much better and they're wanting to play for John Hines. I definitely think that was a thing. Now, are there some guys that just for whatever reason are going through the motions and they're not putting forth the effort that they should be for the money that they're making? Yeah, absolutely, and that's a problem. And that's got to get fixed, and that's got to get fixed right now. Now, I've seen signs of some of those guys that, you know, I think Ryan Johansson is the enigma right now. That you're going to have some nights where, okay, there he is. There's good Joey. Then you have some nights where you're going, where's Joey? You're asking that question. That's a problem. It can't be like that. It's got to be Johansson is the top line center. He is paid a ton of money. He needs to bring it every night. Now, is he going to be perfect every night? No, nobody is.
Nobody's asking him
to do that.
Nobody's asking that.
That's why you have 23 guys on the team. You know, you have guys that, okay, you know what? When Johansson has a bad night, Forsberg's there to pick him up. But you're not seeing that. You're seeing the same line over and over again do the work. Nick Bonino.
Craig Smith.
Rocco Grimaldi.
Right. We can
Roman Josi.
We can sit here and name the list. Sure. Everybody knows the list. If you've been watching the team, you know the list.
Now, Mikael Granlund, as of late,
he's on that list.
Yeah.
Like, he plays hard.
He's been carrying the water. I'll tell you another one. Kyle Turris has been better.
Yep.
And they've been putting him in positions, giving him more ice time, playing him with the top guys. You know, I think it was pretty clear that Kyle Turris just wasn't working under Peter Laviolette's system. Now you're getting more of Kyle Turris. That's a good thing. Got to get more of the other guys too. And you don't have much time to sit around and wait for them to turn it on.
I'm just saying, I understand the people who are just tired of hearing about effort and mental fortitude and attitude. Look, we're 5 months in. Like, people, it's turn off. It's time to squash that narrative. Like I said, if that is what it is, then you have some wrong people in a room.
Yeah.
Period. Whether it's this room, it's any room, anybody listening, any workplace. If you have somebody you're constantly always have, or people you will have to constantly motivate to work, then you got the wrong people. That's just my opinion.
And that, I think, is hard.
Especially
sometimes.
People that, who are well compensated.
Right.
They are paid for their skill set. They are paid for their effort, and they are paid for what they do night in and night out. They are paid for their body of work that they've done to this point in their career. You know, like I said, nobody wants to hear about effort.
Right.
At
but
this point.
Here's the hard part with that. And every team is faced with this at one point or another. Every GM is faced with this. Every coach is faced with this. If you come out and you say, you know what, I got it. I got the wrong people in the room. What are you doing? You're admitting that you were wrong. That's really hard for people to do. And I don't know if they're at that point, because they're knocking on the door. It's just you got to.
Oh yeah, I mean they're.
I mean they're right there.
Of course.
If they were last in the
West, go sweep this road trip, they're in the playoff picture.
And if they were last in the West, that's a different conversation. But they have been hovering right around the doorstep of getting into the playoffs, basically all season long. Mm-hmm. It's just finding that combination that is going to give you that kick over the cliff. Now, what is interesting, Robbie Stanley asked me yesterday to contribute to his Locked On Predators podcast and answer the question of what do you need to see out of the Predators that makes you believe that they're going to be dangerous in the playoffs? The big thing for me is what we have been talking about. You've said it, I've said it, Willie said it. The guys that are supposed to be the guys have to start playing like it. And I name names: Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson. Victor Arvidsson has been different since he came back from the injury. He has not been the same RV hustle as we have seen before. And I don't know if that's because he's still hurt. I don't know if he's scared of getting hit again. I don't know what it is, but he has been different. You got to get the most out of him. The Stars have to play like the Stars, not the Dallas Stars.
Dallas.
Yeah, but the Predator Stars.
Although that's not a bad gauge either.
They're pretty good.
All right, we'll come back. Scott Ramsey, he's the Big Cheese with the Nashville Sports Council. I mean, he has an official title, but I call him the Big Cheese. We'll talk to him next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase, when I call you a Big Cheese, that means you're somebody.
Well, you don't call me that much or at all.
That was an awkward segue.
Yeah, well.
Let's bring in a Big Cheese, Scott Ramsey. That's a good line by you, by the way.
Thank you.
He's with the Nashville Sports Council. He's the president and CEO, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe here. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good. That was quite a response there by Chase.
Yeah, awkward moment set up by the host. My bad. I want you to tell everybody out there listening about a really cool contest that people can get involved with. Best Sports Fan Contest. I love it. Of course, Nashville, Best Sports City by the Sports Business Journal. And, of course, the Sports Council is going to jump all over that and give people a chance to do something really cool. Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, Darren, thanks for having me. But, you know, I think really it's just about having some fun and really reaching out to the people that really earned us the moniker of Best Sports City. And Sports Business Journal is certainly the leading publication in our industry, at least on the business side. It's a weekly and very well read, and it was quite a designation for us for 2019. So we really thought a way to have fun and really to engage the people that really made it happen, and that's the fans of our city and the supporters, whether it be volunteers, sponsors, or whatever. So what we've got going is hashtag Nash Sports Fan. Just send a picture, a video, just telling us why you think you should be nominated and selected as the Nashville's best sports fan and best sports city. Send that in by March 24th. And then
February 24th.
Announce a finalist.
February 24th. Yeah, February 24th. Yep. Right. March 24th. That's all right. I just want to make sure everybody knows the
February, dates. Sorry. My bad there. We're going to put it back out on Twitter and then have public vote. And then on March 3rd, there's the March date, we're going to have an open to the public fun event at the Cowan at Top Golf, and we're going to have some music, and we're going to announce the best sports fan by the vote and have all the finalists up there and have some great gifts and swag and tickets and jerseys and really just kind of have a celebration.
Well, you guys, the last event you put on there at Top Golf, Chase, we both went to it. I actually won an auction item to the Gaylord Opryland Hotel and to their new water park. And had a blast. We absolutely loved it. You guys know how to throw
a
party.
We were right next to the Belmont
group. We were. Yeah.
Casey Alexander.
Casey Alexander and that group. So February 24th is the deadline. And as Scott just said, March 3rd is going to be the big celebration that you guys are going to put on at Top Golf. And that'll be starting at 5 o'clock. All you have to do is send in hashtag Nash Sports Fan. Nash Sports Fan. And that's your tag. Send in the video. And you guys got a great prize. There's going to be, jerseys, Predators, Titans, Nashville SC Sounds, tickets to the Music City Bowl, tickets to the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. So really cool prize attached to it as well.
Yeah, it is. And I think most importantly, I think it's I hope people really have fun with it. We've had hundreds of entries already. And so I hope people jump on and have a lot of fun with it. And it's a great way to celebrate the announcement. You know, I think we look back on 19, certainly you guys were part of it. But I think sometimes when you step back and just think about not only 1 year we've had, but the last, 3 to 5 with some of the major events from women's Final Four or 5 years ago to the NHL All-Star Game to the run of SEC basketball tournaments and now locking that in through 2035 to our marathon last year, the 20th anniversary marathon right in the middle of the NFL draft, which is going to be historically one of the iconic events, I think, in our city. We landed football media days for the SEC for the first time coming. And we won the chance to host in the Olympic year to announce the Olympic team, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships with Scott Hamilton here in 2022. We landed the Big Ten and extended SEC on our bowl game, got a new sponsor from out of town that's investing in the city. So, what a great year. I'm sure I left some stuff out, but, I think as a sports destination, we should all be really proud with how externally we're perceived. And I hope this is a chance for all of us just to kind of enjoy it, look back, and celebrate and have a little fun with it.
No doubt about it. Now, look, I know, Scott, we're going to come off very biased. Sports, that's what we do. That's what you do. And so, of course, what I'm about to say, anybody out there listening who just happened to stumble across the show, maybe they're not a huge sports fan, they're like, well, duh, that's what you guys do. I get that. But you just laid it out there perfectly, and we've actually been talking about this on the show here this week because of kind of the mess that's going on right now with the stadium over at the fairgrounds with Nashville SC and MLS and just people. And I don't want to make this political because we don't get into all that. That's not our expert area of expertise, but people who don't understand how important sports is in a city or to a university, because we've also talked about the Vanderbilt situation. I think they're really missing the boat, and you really get to see that firsthand. Yes, the convention center changed our city for sure, for the good. There's a lot of other things that help grow it where it is, but sports is right in the middle of that. It really, you could view it as a core piece to our growth the last 5 to 7 years.
Well, you mentioned a couple things that I think being blessed enough to be here for 25 years now that we've seen sports do for our city. Certainly, we can do our best to try to measure it economically and all that. But I think a couple things resonate, Darren, to your comments. One, I go back to the mid-90s when we were building the arena. We had just moved here in 95. And one of the things that at the time Mayor Bredesen said that he believed in, and this was a mayor that was not a sports fan at all, and even he admitted he didn't know the difference between a hockey puck and a football, but he said he felt like for any city to be great, they had to have a great downtown. And he realized that sports was a unifier in that process. Might not be, you know, the end-all, be-all, but it was a way for every part of the community to be involved in something, either at the arena, then ultimately the stadium, and really be the catalyst for the growth of downtown. They obviously built the library, and then we've added the convention center, and obviously the economic growth has spurred off of that. But, you know, I think that's probably one of those things that I'll, you know, always remember, and still do very vividly. And to see it play out like it has, I think that's been a very true statement that he made. And it was a great vision because, you know, to your point, politics, and we've gone through a lot of administrations, and there's been some challenges and there's been some successes. But I think in general, from a sports and people coming here from a tourism impact, I mean, they enjoy the city. They enjoy the downtown campus. They enjoy our facilities, our hospitality, our volunteers, the experience they have here. And I think that has bled over into some great, you know, economic growth, business growth, and just a great image for our city on top of what was already really growing from the music industry side. So, you know, I think it's certainly a great honor for 19, but I feel like it's really more of an honor for us to think about how we've really kind of worked together and made sports a real important part of our city.
Scott Ramsey is with us, president of the Nashville Sports Council, here on Darren Donick and Chase. And, you know, as you were talking earlier about some of the events that are already on the books that'll be coming to Nashville, when you look at the facilities that are popping up around here, we know First Horizon Park, formerly First Tennessee Park, where the Sounds play, is available. Hopefully here in the next few years, the soccer stadium, they get that done. Nissan Stadium, hope, you know, going to be some renovations, things like that, hopefully in the near future, Bridgestone Arena. But there are more and more venues to have events at. How much does that open the discussions for even more and more things to come here?
Well, Chase, that's kind of the sweet spot here for us at the Sports Council. I mean, I think you know, our role in our city and the collaboration that we have, I think everybody has really kind of worked together well in their respective roles. Obviously, the Sports Authority on behalf of the city serves as the landlord for the facilities. But we as a Sports Council have been working with the major tenants to really maximize the use of the facilities that are owned by the city, whether it's a bowl game or a one-off football game at the stadium or soccer events versus basketball versus figure skating versus gymnastics at the arena versus, you know, hopefully being able to bid on some events that supplement the MLS schedule at the new MLS stadium, you know, hopefully if and when it gets built. I mean, we're poised right now to go bid on the NCAA Women's Soccer Championship, which would be in early December at the new stadium. NCAA opened up those bids for 23, 4, and 5, so we can kind of start looking at some of those events. Maybe it's emerging sports like lacrosse and rugby, some things that would fit that stadium really well. So the facilities certainly give us the platform to go bid on events. You know, down the road, I think, you know, the big three right now that we probably lack the opportunity facility-wise to go after have been talked about: Super Bowl, national championship game in football in the middle of January, and then the men's Final Four, which our infrastructure and our ability to host those, no question. I have 100% confidence that we could knock it out of the park. But right now it's difficult if you don't have the facility to go compete with the Mercedes-Benz and the Dallas facility or Lucas Oil or some of those that are enclosed that have those capabilities. So hopefully down the road we'll be able to open up the doors for those, but I think we've done really well with maximizing, you know, the sports and the variety of sports that we've had in all the facilities.
I don't know if you can answer this or not, but how much have you been a part of conversations, whether it's with the city, with the Titans, about what to do at Nissan Stadium? I mean, we saw Miami. Miami has put a ton of money into their stadium, and they just hosted another Super Bowl. whether it's building a new facility or updating the one they have. Are you involved? Have you been involved in those conversations at all?
You know, I'm not pausing for a political answer. I'm just trying to really think of the right words. But I would say on the peripheral, yes. I think a lot of people have. You know, I think certainly as those progress, the ability for everybody in the community to think about, okay, if you invest in X for a certain facility, you know, what can we possibly see to return that, either economically, activity, engagement in the community, or whatever. And I think certainly we stand ready to go put together that portfolio of events that we could go pursue with a certain facility. However, it's still going to come down to the negotiation like we're seeing right now with John Ingram and Mayor Cooper. It's going to come down to the negotiation between the Titans ownership and Amy Adams Strunk and the mayor on, you know, what's the next iteration of Nissan Stadium. And ultimately, that's where the business discussion is going to be. And then we and the rest of the community, whether it's the music industry or Butch and the CVB or whatever, can add into ways to kind of support that discussion, whichever way it may go.
So now the last one for me, you know, I'm a big wrestling fan. WrestleMania, look, it'll fit right there at Nissan Stadium.
Can't wait.
When's that coming?
I tell you, with the popularity of Nashville, that's a perfect question for, you know, sometimes you smile when you say you've got problems and they're really good problems to have. We've got a really good problem in that right now it's getting really difficult to find a window of time for certain events. And WrestleMania is a good example of this one, you know, in late mid-spring, where we could find a way to clear enough hotel rooms, the entire convention center, the arena for a 2 or 3 night show, and the stadium at the same time to be able to move forward to really encapsulate that event. It would be a takeover of the city. And to be able to do that right now, we've got so much business that's already booked and locked in that we're looking so far out sometimes on these huge mega events that sometimes that's the hardest piece of what we've got to do right now. Granted, again, you say that with a smile on your face because there's a lot of cities that like to have that problem. But it's certainly an event that we continue to pursue is probably the best word, Chase. They don't really bid it out. They kind of talk to the cities. We've been in discussions with them and looking at certain years that just didn't work for the ability here to put it together business-wise. But it's an event we certainly would like to host down the road.
Scott, good stuff. So Tuesday night, March 3rd, that is free and open to the public. Is that correct? At Topgolf?
That is.
Okay. In fact, you guys are encouraging people to RSVP if you can to NashvilleSports.com. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Obviously, Cowan has a capacity, and we'd love to be able to say we're full. Mm-hmm. But it's free and open. February 24th, get your nomination in for Best Sports Fan on hashtag NashSportsFan. And come have a good time with us on March 3rd.
We always enjoy the visit. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed the talk. Thanks.
All right, we do too. Scott Ramsey, who is the Nashville Sports Council Big Cheese president and CEO, and he has been there from day one. He really has. And so he can speak on the growth. He can speak on everything you just heard in there firsthand, as you just heard, in the mid-90s. And I agree with him because I used to did some sporting events with the mayor that he brought up, and he really didn't. He really didn't hide the fact that he didn't really know anything about sports, didn't care one way or the other, but he had a vision of knowing it's important to a city. And in fact,
I hope the current administration sees that.
I emceed the marathon with him.
Yeah.
And this was a long time ago, and look at it today. And back it was already huge. But, I mean, just think about it. What is it now?
Well, that's what he said. Last year was the 20th.
21. So this would be year 21, right?
Yeah.
So 2 decades of the marathon here and where it is today. But remember, get those videos in. Hashtag it NashSportsFan. Hashtag NashSportsFan. Put the photos or videos on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and they've got a great prize attached to it. You've got jerseys, Predators, Titans, Nashville SC, Sounds, tickets to the Music City Bowl, tickets to the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament at Bridgestone Arena, and that cutoff date is Monday, February 24th, to submit those entries. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Little news and notes to pass along on this one. Not good news here. Good news in St. Louis. Did you see this?
Well, I already knew they had the XFL and we didn't, so.
That's not.
No, is that
covered,
not the news?
We covered that ground yesterday. Okay. Tarasenko is back out on the ice skating.
Ooh. After a long, long time.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping he wasn't going to skate this year.
He's just skating. He's just starting the process.
He is. But still, it's early February.
Yeah. That seems ahead of schedule.
It does feel that way, so we thought we'd at least pass that along, even though that is not exactly viewed as good news out in this market.
Preds will skate at 12:30 Central today. We'll see if Ryan Ellis joins them again like he did the other day. Again, John Hines said the other day after practice that he didn't think he'd play on the road trip, but he was with them. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to skate a little bit, so maybe one step closer.
We've also talked on the show this week. A couple days ago, we actually started off the show talking about the Nashville SC situation and the fairgrounds and the new stadium and that whole mess with Mayor John Cooper. Well, there's some at least good news on leak front. I don't know if you guys saw this. Don Garber tweeted out that there's been a new 5-year CBA agreed upon, MLS.
Hmm.
So Don Garber, the commissioner, put this out. As we prepare to celebrate our 25th season, we are very pleased to finalize a new 5-year collective bargaining agreement with our players. This agreement addresses key strategic priorities for the league and our players while also retaining the basic player compensation structure that has been the foundation for the growth and stability of MLS, Major League Soccer. We had constructive, positive discussions with the leadership of the MLSPA and the Players Bargaining Committee during the negotiations over the last few months. I would like to thank them for their collaboration in concluding an agreement that will serve as the foundation for a new era of partnership with our players. So a new 5-year deal with the league and the MLSPA. So
yeah, well, and that's good. That means
right. You don't want to have
stability.
Right, you don't want to have that being a mess
sure.
too to add into the equation.
Well, and you bring up Nashville SC. They actually just announced that they have surpassed 30,000 tickets sold for the first game against Atlanta at Nissan Stadium. So they're going to open the upper deck of Nissan Stadium to sell more tickets for the inaugural game. That is fantastic. And if that doesn't tell you, and I know it's the first game, but still, that shows you the demand for soccer in this town. If that doesn't say something to the mayor, then I don't know what will. They got to get this figured out so they can break ground on that stadium and get another facility built here in Nashville, because it will be good for the city to have another place and to have another team in Nashville SC. That's awesome news, though. Surpassing 30,000.
Well, also says something to people out there, the doubters that think that nobody cares in this market, and that's just simply not true.
Yeah, look.
If nobody cared, we wouldn't be talking about it. I mean, that's just the hard truth.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't want to hear that, but you know, we don't talk about things nobody cares about. It's our job to talk about what you care about, and if nobody cared, we wouldn't be talking about it, and we know that's not the case. And the fact that you just said that they've already sold 30,000 tickets for their opener to MLS in late February against Atlanta. Now, how much is that them? I don't know. But look, it's not going to wrap
matter.
Up at 30,000. What do you think it's on us? I mean, people have said, do they sell it out? I don't think it's going to happen.
So that'd be 68?
Nine. I don't think that's going to happen. But if they get close let's just say they get 50,000.
I think that's a good day. Because you have now surpassed, with them announcing this and opening up more seats, you have now surpassed the proposed capacity of the new stadium, 30,000.
Yeah, anything past this, right, is showing you that they should be selling out a new stadium.
Yeah.
Now, what does that, you know, what does that do? Does that change things? Oh, just stay at Nissan. But I look, they got to get this done. I think they will. I think it's just, you know, silly little things. But to your point about people not being interested, I've tried to be honest about this. I don't know anything about soccer. I played soccer when I was 4 years old, and that was it. I've been to a couple of Nashville SC games for the USL. I had a good time. I just don't understand it. It's like when I first started going to Preds games, I didn't know the rules. I knew you tried to score the other team's goal. That's all I knew. I'm willing to learn. I'm not saying that it's going to turn me into this diehard soccer fan, and nobody's asking anybody to become that, but give it a chance. Go out there and attend the games and realize that you have now another alternative of sports in this town for your family, and it's a way to support the city. I'm all in on it because I want to see it grow. I want to learn more about it. But I think that people that are saying that nobody's interested in it are the same type. They're like me in that they don't understand it, so therefore, fooey. I don't care. I don't want to give it a chance. That's not how I'm approaching this.
I don't know how anybody who could live in a market that cares about where they live would root against something.
Sure. Sure.
Doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you root against something? If something works and is successful, it's good for everybody. I mean, it's good for where you live. I mean, it's a different thing, and that's why sometimes it's tough on the show. Because, once again, we also feel like it's our job to hold people accountable when they're not getting things done. And whenever the Titans were a rudderless ship and they were getting nothing done and it was just some faceless names running the ship, it was our job to call them out and say, this is not acceptable. This is not good enough. And we harped on that a lot. And we made a lot of people mad. But it was our job to do that. It was our job to shake that tree over there. That tree needed to be shaked.
Yeah.
And ever since the, you know, and it wasn't because of the show. It was really more about the league. The league started shaking the tree, and then all of a sudden, things changed. And ever since Amy Adams Strunk has taken over, she's stood up and said, I'm in charge, and things started happening. We have said many times, is it perfect? No. Is it better? Yes. Is it way better? Yes. And you don't really hear that on this show anymore, right? We don't talk about it. You know why? Because things are better.
There's stability.
They're doing things. They're doing things, okay? They're not sitting on their hands. And that it's our job. Look, Vanderbilt right now, it's our job to talk about. Like, it's a mess. It's a mess. They've got real problems over there. They've got a real image problem. They've always had an image problem, but now it's within their walls. It's amongst their people. And that's, you know, it's one thing to have other SEC fans make fun of you. It's another thing to have your fans not care. Okay, Apathy's the worst. The worst. And if they don't care or they're checking out, you got huge, huge problems. And if they think you don't care, then why should they care?
Exactly.
And so Candace Story Lee is going to need to roll up her sleeves and try to repair some of this if they truly want to fix it. I mean, I'm watching, by the way, congratulations, Vanderbilt. They won a game last night.
And Jerry Stackhouse will actually join us at the end of the show today.
They beat LSU. I said they would win one, maybe two conference games. I certainly didn't have LSU as the one, maybe two conference games this year. I certainly didn't have LSU on that list. And they did it.
I watched it.
I did. I watched a lot of it, too. But what did you see? Did you see a packed house at Memorial Gym?
Nope.
Far from it. That's sad, man. That's a ranked team. Man, for people who haven't been here that long, and I get it, you would have no reason to understand that. Just like the Florida game Saturday night, man. Nobody. That used to be a tough, tough ticket. Florida and Vanderbilt basketball on a Saturday night in Nashville? Good luck getting a ticket. Good luck. Those days are way gone, and that just goes to show you the women's basketball, they're not drawing. The Lady Vols came into town just recently, right? Within what, the last week? I think they announced 4,000.
Oh, and that used to be
sellout.
Impossible to get tickets to.
Lady Vols and Vanderbilt in Nashville, they announced 4,000.
Mm.
Well, I don't know if 4,000 were even in there.
Look,
They got, I mean, the football games we referenced it this year, they got work to do. Now, if they don't care, it doesn't matter. But it doesn't mean we're going to stop talking about it.
Right.
It's time to shake the tree up over Vanderbilt. It's time for them, the people who aren't on board, to wake up. Okay? Because they are an SEC team. They're in the best market in the SEC. Who's kidding who?
Oh, yeah. It should be easy to recruit because it's Nashville. It's a great TV market, media market.
Act like you give a damn. Give these coaches a chance, man. Give these players a chance.
Well, I'm hoping that Candace Story Lee does. And I'm hoping that's why they made the decision to go to her and move on, you know, from Malcolm Turner. And all indications are, you talk to people that are connected to the university, they love her, they think that she should have had the job all along. Okay, well, now she's got to back it up. She's got to get people coming over there. They got to work on the facilities. They got to fix this. I'm with you. They got to get their head out of the sand. Because right now, there are times where it appears they're ostriches with their head buried in the ground. Nothing to see here. Because last night should be celebrated. That was huge.
They have enough challenges already. Let's not make that a challenge for the coaches and the players. How about that? It's already tough enough because of restrictions and academics. Can you make it a little bit easier for them? How about get them some crowd support? Get them some real facilities? How about give them stuff? The league just gave you $46 million? What was it?
Yeah.
Got a check for? That's for 1 year. Do something. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the first hour next. Jordan Matthews coming up at 11 o'clock here on Darren Donick and Chase. Don't forget to text the keyword boxing to our text line, 615-737-1025. 737-1025, that's our text line, also our call-in line. You can do both. You can win a pair of tickets to see Caleb Plant take on Vincent Bacon Butts. Boots?
Boots.
Bacon Boots. Bacon Boots. I knew when I said butts, that was not right.
No butts.
Bacon Boots. Boots. How about boots? You need boots today. Rain boots. In the Super Middleweight World Championship, that's going to be on Saturday, February 15th at Bridgestone Arena. You don't want to miss this. Big time boxing returning to Nashville. And you need to root on the hometown guy, Caleb Plant. It's been a really cool story. So that is going to be on February 15th. Remember, just text the keyword boxing.
No emojis, no period, just boxing.
Boxing.
The robots handle that. The robot knows boxing. The robot doesn't know boxing, period.
Ah.
So.
Good words of advice. Good job.
There you go.
I'm
here to help the people.
We've talked about this before. I hate those robot tests that some
sites put you through.
It's like, can you make it a little bit easier?
Yeah. See, we've already gotten an entry. And it worked.
Really?
Yeah.
How about somebody else? Right now, text it. Boxing. Boxing, and that's it. 737-1025. That's all you have to do. It's very simple. And somebody's going to go see Caleb Plant win at Bridgestone Arena on February 15th. Yeah, you just heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know a lot of things, but that's one of them.
That's one of them. I told you the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl.
You did. I don't know if you really went out on a limb on that one, but...
What do you mean?
I mean, you said, you thought they were going to win.
For 2 weeks.
A lot of people thought they were going to win, too.
Well, they're 1-point favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like 9-point favorite or something.
I mean, I picked
basically
them to win.
A pick 'em.
Yeah, but I felt they were going to win. I saw them play. Saw them play in the AFC title game. I saw that comeback.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No comeback needed last night as Vanderbilt led at half.
Yeah.
I thought when I saw the halftime score, 52-47, I was like, there's no way that's correct.
Right.
There's no way it's 52-47 at the half. Because I didn't see the first half. I watched the second half.
I saw the beginning of the game, and then I saw most of the second half because I saw on Twitter, you know, people are like, wow, Vandy leading LSU. Huh, this has a chance. I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. And to be honest with you, I was like, you know, it's LSU. But kudos to Vandy.
LSU will come back and win.
Yeah, but They didn't. They didn't give up.
Saban Lee was awesome.
He was. And then
33 points. Evans had a huge first half. Evans finished with 31. Elijah, did you watch the whole game?
Unfortunately, for the first time in maybe like 5 years, I fell asleep at 8 p.m. watching the Mike Vick documentary. And I woke up to a text from Chase saying, wow, good win for Vandy. And I wasn't convinced that I was awake yet. So I had to go check the box score. And sure enough, Vanderbilt getting two 30-point scores, which I think that's the first time that's happened in the SEC this year, is that a team getting two 30-point scores in a game. And, I mean, that's what it took for them to beat a team like LSU.
They broke the longest losing streak in SEC history.
26 games. If you could leave that story out at noon when we talked to the producer of Michael Vick, Ready for 30, that you fell asleep
it was
watching
good.
It.
And it wasn't why I fell asleep.
You did a really good job of selling it,
Yeah, watching it behind my
you fell asleep.
Eyelids, yeah.
But you should watch it. I mean, I fell asleep, but you should watch
you
it.
You should watch it, yeah.
It's really good.
Which, putting me to sleep is no hard task. I will throw that out there first as a disclaimer. I sleep easily.
Stanley, just want to let you know, loved your work. I mean, I fell asleep during it, but I loved it. It was a really good job producing.
I've made that mistake before. I told somebody way back when that had a radio show at night here in town, and I got to meet them for the first time. I was probably...
Was that me?
No, it wasn't you.
No? Was it Willie? No,
it wasn't Willie.
Because we used to have a night show.
I know. It wasn't a sports show.
Oh.
It was a music show, but I was probably 10, I guess it was, 10 or 11. And I said, yeah, I really like your show. I listen every night when I'm going to sleep. My dad kind of looks at me like, maybe not the best choice of words.
Thanks, kid.
Yeah.
Now beat it.
Basically.
I think I saw this right. So Vanderbilt, I know, came in with a 26-game losing streak in conference. I think I saw this right. LSU came into the game 24-2 in their last 26 conference games.
That would be
24-2 because they didn't have a loss this year.
Mm-mm.
Coming into the game, 24-2 in their last 26 conference games, playing a team that was over 26 in their last conference games, and I guess that's why they play the games, right?
Yeah, and I'll be curious to ask Jerry Stackhouse when he comes on. I mean, he's played this game for a long time, both professionally and on the collegiate level, of what a win like this can do for a group. Because it's all about confidence. And now they have confidence. They just did it. Not only did they get an SEC win, they got a win against a ranked team.
Yep.
I mean, that does wonders, or can do wonders, for a team. So congratulations to them. And did you see his interview after the game? Sweat just pouring off of him.
No, the first thing I blurted out is, did Jerry play?
He looked like he played.
He looked like he was drenched. Did they douse him with Gatorade or something?
Oh, they definitely did. Yeah.
On the court?
In the locker room before he got into the...
But this was...
I think he did that. That was afterwards.
This was the walk-off interview. He walked off the court and went and sat down.
I don't think they had hit it, but it looked like he had been doused. I know they did it in the room.
They definitely unloaded, I think, almost every bit of water in that building on that man after the game. I did see videos of that.
I think that was after the interview. But I'm telling you, when he sat down and put the headset on, I blurted out.
He looked sweaty.
The Stackhouse play in the game?
On a scale of 1 to Bruce Pearl, how bad was it? Was it pretty close?
It wasn't quite Bruce Pearl.
I don't know if anybody should ever be compared to Bruce Pearl.
That's a
good gauge, though.
That's a pretty high mark to reach for.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, we'll come back. Kick off the second hour with Jordan Matthews. We do that next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.